You may be a little shocked by this, but there have been times when I've been accused of making wild generalizations, of overstating my case. I've sometimes been told that I've been talking about what people do, what people say, how people think, and that I've been generalizing. People come to me and say, well, what you're saying, there may be a grain of truth in it, but you're over-egging the pudding. Well, that may be so. But tonight I'm going to give you a generalization that I don't think you'll challenge. And it's along these lines. People, lots of people, perhaps most people, spend a lot of time thinking about money and possessions. It's a big concern for lots of people, for all sorts of different people. You may remember last week we were looking at Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, where Jesus has a great crowd of people around him. And Jesus has been preaching about the most solemn, the most awesome things. He's been preaching about Judgment Day. The day when all the secrets of people's hearts will be revealed. He's been preaching about hell, about the fact that God has the power to throw people into hell. He's been talking about the fact that those who deny him in this world are going to be rejected on the day of judgment. He's been calling the people in that crowd to think about death and judgment and eternity. And you remember this man in the crowd who interrupts and shouts out, "Teacher, tell my brother he's got to share the inheritance with me." Here's a man who's come along to hear Jesus, and he's heard Jesus talking about these awesome, eternal concerns, and all he's thinking about is money, getting his share of money, getting what he thinks is due to him. And he wants Jesus to get involved in his family quarrel, the quarrel he's having with his brother. People think a lot about money. That man, money was uppermost in his mind. You remember then Jesus and how he responded, how he warned that man and everyone else who was listening that they had to be on their guard against all kinds of greed. The two brothers were both greedy men.
One of them, we assume, was defrauding the other. But the other, the second, was just spending all his time thinking about how he needed, wanted, deserved the money. They were both greedy men. They were both men for whom money was the biggest thing in their mind. And then you remember the story that Jesus told to show how absurd it is to live for money. You remember the story of the rich farmer, man who's already rich, who has this wonderful crop, and then starts worrying because he doesn't know what to do with his wonderful crop. It just becomes a matter of stress for him, and finally works out a solution. He's going to build these bigger barns, and he's going to store it all away, and he's going to live on the profits for the rest of his life, and he's going to be comfortable. And nobody in the crowd put up their hand and said, no, that's an unrealistic story. People aren't like that. People are like that, aren't they? People spend a lot of their time thinking about money, thinking about possessions. There are some people who are concerned about money because they don't have any. They're in real need. They just don't have what they need to live in the particular society in which they do live. I suppose what you need to live differs according to what society you live in. In some societies, providing you've got food to get by and clothes to cover yourself with, you've really got everything you need. But that wouldn't be true if you were living in the Arctic Circle. You'd also need shelter. You'd need heating. In every society, what you would list out as necessities differs. But there are some people who don't have what is necessary in their society. And that's a matter of concern for them. They worry about it. There are other people who do have what they need, and maybe have a good deal more than what they actually need. They've got a measure of this world's riches, the luxuries, the nice things that this world can offer. And what they're thinking about is the fact that one way or another they could lose it. Maybe they're aware that what they've hoarded so easily could be stolen. Maybe they're worrying that the bank where their money has been invested could go bust. Maybe they're worried that the value of their shares could collapse. Maybe they just feel that the money that they stored away, that they hoarded, is just running out bit by bit. But one way or another, they don't feel secure. They say, I've got money, but you know, I'm worried because I don't know what's going to happen in the future. There are people who think about money a lot simply because though they've got enough to get by and maybe more than that, they don't have as much as other people do. And that troubles them. They feel that somehow they're losing out in the rat race. They feel they're falling behind, and that makes them uncomfortable and troubled. And there's a competitive edge, isn't there, in the human psyche. And it doesn't matter how much a person has. If they feel that other people are ahead of them, then they start feeling insecure and bothered about that. I'm a loser. And then there are those people again, we'd say that they have enough to live on. They maybe have much more than they need to live on. They're wealthy people. But it brings them no satisfaction. They're still restless. They still feel that they're missing something. And they've been told that it's having things, it's having possessions that makes you contented. And so they think, well, what they need is more. They've just got to get more things. More money, a bigger salary, a bigger yacht. They need bigger, better things. And then this dissatisfaction will go away. And so that's their concern. And they spend all their time searching through the catalogues or on the internet for the latest gadget, for the latest luxury. They read all the reviews of all the different new mobile phones because they're sure that if they can only get the right one, then at last they'll feel right. And then I suppose there are those people who think a lot about money and about possessions. It's in their mind a lot because while they've got enough and maybe more than enough, they just feel that they could get more. And just because they feel that they could get more, they feel it's almost their duty to get more. So it's wrong to miss out. If only they could find the right formula for getting more. Or if only they could get justice, get what they actually deserve. There is some way that they've seen in which they could enrich themselves. They don't actually need to enrich themselves. They've already got enough. But given the fact that they've seen that possibility, they feel now that they mustn't miss out on it. For different reasons. Different people spend a lot of time thinking about money, thinking about property, thinking about possessions. And not only do they spend a lot of time thinking about it, a lot of people become incredibly worried about these things. They become anxious. Anxious because they don't have what they need. Anxious because they think that what they do have, they could lose. Anxious because they're falling behind other people in the race for possessions. Anxious because they can't find satisfaction. And they're always looking for the next thing. Anxious because they might be missing out on an opportunity. Listen to what Jesus says to his disciples. Luke chapter 12, verse 22. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry. Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear." Jesus says to his disciples, "You are not to worry about money." He says, "I am telling you, you must not worry about money, about possessions, not even about the bare necessities of life. Food to eat, clothes to wear. Even if you do not have the bare necessities of life, even if you don't have food in the larder, in the fridge, you are not to worry. I forbid it," says Jesus. Jesus only says this to his disciples. It would be unrealistic to say it to anyone else, wouldn't it? To say to people who are starving, who've got no food and no way of getting it. Don't worry. Only somebody who is a disciple of Jesus Christ, only somebody who is trusting Jesus Christ, only somebody who has the Spirit of Jesus Christ within him could even begin to keep that commandment. But it's a wonderful blessing if by the grace of God you can keep that command. How wonderful to be delivered from this obsession. How wonderful to go through life without ever worrying about money, about possessions. How wonderful to have that burden lifted off your shoulders. Never to be worried about the future. Never to be worried about what other people have got. Never to be worried about whether you're missing out on opportunities that might come your way. How wonderful to be delivered from all of that. To be a free man, a free woman. To be somebody who can simply live by trust. Trusting God to supply everything you really need every moment of your life. The Lord Jesus tells his disciples here a number of vital things about worry. Six things I want to point out that he says about worrying over money, worrying over possessions. Firstly, he tells them that worrying about money, worrying about possessions, is the wrong priority. Do you see what he says? Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. He says there are things more important than feeding your than eating. There are things more important than clothing your body. There are things that should be higher in your list of priorities, that should be greater concerns for you. Life is more than what you eat. The body is more than what you wear. What does Jesus mean? Well, he's saying this. He's saying, look, you are to be concerned about your soul. The word for soul and the word for life are the same word in the New Testament. He says that's to be your great concern. Not just prolonging your life indefinitely, but saving your soul. You're to be concerned about using your body, using it for the glory of God, using it in the service of God. That's more important than what it's dressed in. You're to be concerned about the great things, about finding forgiveness of sins, about living your life in a way that pleases God, about preparing for the day of judgment, about preparing for the eternal world. Those are the things that have to be uppermost in your minds. Yes, the people of the world, of course they're obsessed with what they're going to eat and what they're going to dress as in and whether they've acquired this and that. Of course they're obsessed with those things because they don't believe there is an eternal world. They don't believe that there is a God to please. They don't believe that they have souls. But you do. Then shouldn't your first concern be to be seeking the God who alone can save you eternally? Obsessions of the world are so trivial compared with the great obsession that should fill your heart, your mind. You were made to glorify God. You were made to enjoy Him forever. That's the first thing that worrying about property, about money, is just the wrong priority. It's worrying about trivial things instead of the great things that should be uppermost in your mind. And then secondly, he says, worrying about money, worrying about property is unnecessary. Consider the ravens, he says. They don't sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And again he says in verse 27, consider how the lilies grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. That's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire. God supplies the needs of his creatures. He supplies the needs of the ravens, unclean birds. He supplies the needs even of the lilies in the fields. Do they need to worry? Do the lilies spend their time fussing over where they're going to get petals from? You don't need to worry, says the Lord Jesus. The God who is capable of feeding ravens, the God who is capable of clothing lilies, and who does so magnificently, so beautifully, surely he can supply your needs. God provides food for the ravens for as long as he intends that they should live. There will come a point when he's decided they've lived long enough. And then maybe he'll withdraw the food supply. But for as long as he intends that they live, they will have food. He'll clothe the lilies for as long as he intends that they'll bloom. The day will come when he longer intends them to bloom. And then he'll stop clothing them. But as long as he intends that they be there, he'll supply their needs. And the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, God will do the same for you. Sure, you're not going to live forever. And it may be that there have been believers who have starved to death. Or frozen to death. It's happened. But that's because their time in this world has come to an end. It's because God has decided that it's time to move them into a better world, a happier world. But you don't need to worry. For as long as God intends that you live in this world, he will supply you with the things you really need. Worry is unnecessary. And then thirdly, Jesus says, worry is pointless. It doesn't actually achieve anything. He says it in verse 25, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? What is actually gained by all the worrying? It doesn't change anything. A person may worry and worry and worry about how long they're going to live. But the fact is, they're going to live until the day that God brings their life to an end. They will die at the moment that God has decreed. It makes not the slightest bit of difference whether they've worried about it or not. And then fourthly, the Lord Jesus says that such worry is distrustful. I don't know if that is a word in English. Untrusting. Worrying about money, about property, shows a lack of trust. Do you see what Jesus says when he's talked about the birds, the ravens? He says, and how much more valuable you are than birds. He says, if God looks after the ravens in that way, and if God clothes the grass of the field in that way, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? A Christian, a disciple of Jesus, who spends his time, her time, worrying what's going to happen in the future. Oh, what will happen if my money runs out? What will happen if my investments fail? What a sad aspersion they're throwing on their Heavenly Father. To be saying to the Heavenly Father, I don't trust you to look after me. I don't trust you to look after me in my old age. I don't trust you to look after me if the bank fails. I can't trust you. Jesus, oh, you of little faith. What sort of child is it who has so little trust in their father to think that their father would abandon them in time of need? And then fifthly, Jesus says, worrying about money, worrying about possessions is a distraction. It's a distraction from the work you should be doing. What does he say? Do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Don't worry about it, for the pagan world, the heathens, runs after all such things. And your father knows that you need them, but seek his kingdom. And these things will be given to you as well. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Seeking the kingdom of God. Working to extend the kingdom of God into all the world. We have the great task of taking the gospel to our neighbours, our friends, this town, this country in which we live. We've got the great task of sending missionaries out through the world and supporting them. We've got the great task of building churches. This is the way in which the kingdom of God must come. We've got to seek that kingdom. We've got to seek its prosperity, its growth, its extension. And if we spend all our time just worrying about what we've got and what we haven't got, then we're going to be distracted from that great task. He'll supply what we need to live our lives and to do that work. We don't need anything more than that. Worrying about money, worrying about property, about possessions, it distracts us from seeking the kingdom of God. And then the sixth thing I want to say is this. That worrying about money, worrying about property, is simply disobedience to Jesus himself, isn't it? What does Jesus say in verse 22? Therefore, I tell you, do not worry. I tell you. He's not just giving good advice. He's not quoting a proverb. He's speaking with his own voice. He's speaking with all the authority of the incarnate Son of God, Lord of heaven and earth. And he's saying, I tell you, do not worry. You don't need to and you mustn't. Oh, what a reassurance that is. The Lord Jesus has said to you, don't worry, you don't have to. In fact, I'm telling you not to. You know, those of you who are parents, I'm sure you've had the experience where your child has come to you worrying about something. Let's say, will he have the uniform he needs for the start of term? And you say, don't worry, I'll sort it out. And the next day, he comes back to you and says, Mum, I'm worried about my uniform. I'm worried that term will come and I won't have it. I told you, don't worry. I said I would sort it out. And Later on that day, he comes to you and says, Mum, I'm worried about my uniform. I'm worried that the term will start and everybody else will have their uniform and I won't have my uniform. And Mum says, I told you, I'll sort it out. I asked you to leave it with me. In the end, Mum's going to get irritated. Because she's got a child who won't take her word for it. She's told him he doesn't need to worry. She's told him he can leave it in her hands. And that's what she wants him to do. Now the Lord Jesus, King of the universe, has said to you, you little child of God, he said to you, don't worry, I'll sort it out. Don't worry, I'll make sure you have what you need. Don't worry, for as long as you live here in this world, you will have the things that you need. And he wants you to take him at his word. He commands it. He says to you, do not worry. He gives that command in verse 22. He gives a further command in verse 32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. He's talking here not just, I think, to the individual believer. I think he's talking to the church together, the fellowship of believers, the community of believers, the little flock. It's not just as individuals that sometimes we feel we're vulnerable. We're conscious of the fact that we are a little flock with very few resources. It's possible for Christians to start worrying together about the future of the kingdom, about the future of the church. What if, as a church, we run out of money? If we don't have enough money to maintain this building, to pay the pastor? What if we don't have enough money to do the work that we need to do as a church? Don't be afraid, says Jesus. The Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. This great God, the King of the universe, has made you his children and his heirs, so that now that kingdom belongs to you too. The work you're doing is kingdom work, and all its needs will be supplied. I like to imagine some lad going away to some prestigious boarding school, one of the great public schools, and being questioned by his fellow pupils. And they ask him, well, how rich are you? And he says, well, I'm not rich, but my father is. Oh, what does he own? Oh, he owns the whole of, and this lad names one of the Arab oil states. Owns it all. Oh. And he said it's going to be mine one day. Oh, does he give you any allowance now? Oh, yes. How much is your allowance? Well, as much as he thinks is good for me. And whenever I've asked him for anything that I really needed, he's always given it to me, regardless of how much it is. That's the position that Christ's church is in. That's the position that the believer is in. We're not rich. But our Father has infinite riches. He's the King. The kingdom is his. And he's promised that we'll share it. And even now he gives us an allowance. He gives us whatever we need. And if we tell him that we need things, and if he judges that we do need them, he gives them.
That's why we don't need to worry.
Jesus forbids us to worry. Jesus gives us the command, do not worry. He gives us the command, do not be afraid. He gives us a third command in verse 33. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. He says to his people, you can afford to do without so many things that you do have. And I'm telling you to do without things. Sell them. When you see somebody in need, when you see somebody who is in a worse state than you are, then sell those unnecessary things and give to that person without worrying about what the consequences will be for yourself. You can leave it to God. You can leave it to God to supply your need if you're playing your part in supplying the needs of others. And then the fourth command that Jesus gives is this. Have your heart set on the world to come. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. The purses that people have in this world, the purses into which they push all their worldly wealth, wear out. All the banks go bust in the end. Not one of the banks that existed in Rome or in Jerusalem when Jesus wrote these words are still in operation. They've all gone bust, you know, since the first century. All human purses wear out. All human banks go bust in the end. Jesus says, you can gain a purse for yourself that will not wear out. You can have a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted. As you give to the poor here in this world, as you serve Christ here in this world, as you devote yourself to loving and caring for Christ's people and promoting Christ's gospel, you are storing for yourself treasure in heaven, and it'll last forever. Infinite treasure. Treasure of infinite value. Treasure that is absolutely secure. The man in the story that Jesus had just told, the story of the rich farmer, he thought that at last he had found security. He thought that now that he had had this bumper harvest, now that he had these giant barns, at last he was secure. And yet, there was no security for him. Because that very night his soul was called in. That very night he died. There is only one place where you can have secure treasure. And it's not in this world. It's in the world to come. You can have treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, no moth destroys. People worrying about money here in this world, and yet in the end, whatever they gain, and however secure it seems, they can't keep it. Not in the long run. But every single thing you do for Jesus Christ, every single thing you do out of love for him, every single penny you give to one of his people, is increasing your heavenly treasure, increasing your heavenly joy. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. People who have their treasure here in this world are going to be obsessed with this world. People who are storing up treasure in heaven, their hearts will be in heaven. That's where they'll want to be. I wonder how much time you spend worrying. Worrying about money, worrying about possessions, worrying about security here in this world, worrying about the state of your bank balance. Worrying about those things. It's unnecessary. It's pointless. It shows a lack of trust in your Heavenly Father. It's a distraction from the work you should be getting on with. It's disobedience to Jesus Christ. But it's very difficult to stop worrying, isn't it? And that's why we need to be praying for grace. Said at the beginning, this command is only for Jesus' disciples. It's a command we can only keep by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Let's pray that we, as individuals and as a congregation, will be filled with the Holy Spirit. The spirit of contentment, the spirit of trust, the spirit of obedience, the spirit of heavenly mindedness, as he fills our minds and our hearts with thoughts of that world, then the things of this world will grow strangely dim.